Let me begin with the old gag about what's the difference between an organist and a terrorist. You can negotiate with terrorists, which quickly spawned its rival. What's the difference between a vicar and a terrorist? A terrorist knows what he wants. Music, as Noel and I would have to admit, you know, does have remarkable capacities to unite, but also divide. And more churches, I think, have split over music than doctrine, or at least at the anecdotal level to which I hear the stories, that would be true. So we ought to be grateful that God has kept us together and not just assume it. And if these two short paragraphs are telling of God's new community, which they are, and of the values and qualities shown there of compassion and kindness and forgiveness and love, well, the music world and music ministries, as well as the rest of us, need to take verse 15 seriously. So just the first point I've drawn is this. We need to be fulfilling our calling, not just our preferences. It's something of what Noel was talking about earlier. Watch how verse 15 goes. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And it's not really saying, you know, I feel at peace about this, so it must be okay. There's far more steel and substance to that sentence than those ideas conjure up. The peace of Christ is the peace he won for me and for you that puts me right and at peace with God. That draws me and draws you into the community of those who are at peace with God. And yes, God has made some funny and pretty disparate, diverse choices, hasn't he, if you look around the room. And the idea of that peace ruling is less to do with being a crown and so on, more to do with a kind of referee's whistle. When the argument gets heated or the decision-making loses perspective, play to the whistle and stop when it blows. See, am I going to let the peace of the saved from hell, you and me, be fractured and divided because of a guitar, or an oversimple tune to a chorus, or an overcomplex arrangement to a previously familiar tune? You were called to peace as a Christian. It's not just me being put right with God. Actually, it's me being drawn into community with all the rest of us who are put right with God. So it means, as Noel was talking about earlier, I'll swallow my preferences for the peace of the body. The one body. I think I've told this before, but it's some years back when I was at St. Helens down the road, and I remember one evening service, an over-enthusiastic drummer who completely drowned everyone else and ruined it was playing. And Dick Lucas, who was the rector there at the time, just muttered to me at the end, "Yes, we must put up with some bad taste for the sake of the gospel." Sorry, McDarley, had nothing to do with you. But actually, that was, for him, the peace of Christ ruling. "Did you really choose that song?" someone asked me after a service. I said, "Yes." I said, "I don't like it, but it speaks well into many people's hearts, and it is speaking truth." Normally, there's at least one song I don't like in a service. I suspect there probably needs to be at least one song I don't like in a service if we're actually choosing with this kind of idea in mind. And the peace of Christ rules what we play, how we play, who plays, all need to come under this calling. You know, whether you're vicar, organist, guitarist, music minister, fulfill our calling, not just your preferences. Here's a second thing to bear in mind, and it's there in verse 16. I call this sing to teach, not just to learn. Look how verse 16 goes. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. See, it was the peace of Christ in the previous verse. Now it's the message of Christ, and it needs to be at the center of this community, and it needs to be richly at the center. Not just a footnote, not just an assumed value, Actually, in this little church in Colossae, this young church, the message of Christ was leaking. Oh, it's not that they ignored him or disowned him, but all kinds of other things were squeezing in and squeezing him out, which is why the apostle writes as he does to them. He'd written in the opening chapter and he's spelt out who Christ is. In Christ, he says, all things were created. And in case you didn't think he meant all things, he went on. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. You get the message? Well, in case you haven't, he still goes on. All things have been created through him and for him. Yeah, that's the Christ who needs to be at the center of us. And he goes on later on. He says, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. You can't get more of God than you'll find in Christ. So we don't need to look anywhere else. Actually, through him, he would reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I don't need any other reconciler. The message of Christ, richly in the center, kept there. And how does Christ have such a prominent place? Is that the rector's job? Is that the ministry team's job? I mean, isn't that why we pay them? Look how he goes on. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. The apostles' great ministry, which he'd mentioned a chapter earlier, Christ is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Do those words sound familiar? So that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And now he's writing to any and every Christian, and he's giving them the same ministry. And one way we fulfill it is through our singing. See, come back to verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And if you're trying to work out which one is which of those three, ask Noel afterwards. Now, it's not the only way to teach, and it's not the only reason to sing, but it's one of them. And one of the things to see is that when we sing to one another. It's why the content of songs matter. And it's why our attitude to singing matters. Here's Tim Chester. I found this very thought-provoking. Christian worship, he says, is always a subversive act. It's akin to singing the French national anthem in occupied France during World War II. In our corporate worship, when we come together, we call one another both to the worship of the true God and from the worship of other gods. We call one another from the subtle influence of the empty and destructive idolatries of this world, and instead we give our undivided allegiance to the one undivided God. And we do it in our songs. We sang earlier, lift high the name of Jesus. Of Jesus our light. No other name on earth can save, can raise a soul to life. See, I'm drawing you to worship Jesus, and I'm telling you, forget anything else, because no other name can raise a soul to life. So when we come together, don't go all pious and say, oh yes, I come to church to learn. Well, I hope you do come to learn, but you also come to teach. The best liturgy is very powerful when confident voices speak it out. The best songs are very powerful when confident voices sing them out. Yeah, don't perpetually come late and shrug it off, you know, I'm only missing a few songs. You're missing your teaching ministry. Hey, and I'm not learning from you. It's why music ministries need to choose songs with great care, the kind of care that preachers give to sermons. It's why the test of a music ministry is not how well the musicians play, though it's always better when you do play well. The test of a music ministry is how well the church sings. They're not always the same. So we sing to teach. Here's the last test. Have thankful hearts, not just tuneful ones. It's a motif that runs through this paragraph, you notice. In verse 15, live your calling and be thankful, he ends. In verse 16, we're singing to one another, but we're also, of course, singing to God, and we sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Verse 17, whatever you do in word and deed, do it giving thanks to God the Father through him, through Jesus. Now, a Christian community will be a thankful community. It's why we didn't want to let Noel go without a fuss. 47 years, and the depth and variety of music we've enjoyed over that time, are always wanting us to honour Christ and having him richly at the heart of us as a family, always encouraging us to praise our God. Yeah, Noel, thank you for all that ministry. And Mike, we're confident you won't change those things in the future. Thank you in advance. So let us pray. Because above all, we don't just want to thank Noel and Mike and musicians. We want to thank the God who gave us a song to sing and musicians to encourage us to sing it. So a moment of quiet, a moment maybe you've got your own thanks, your own prayers you want to, and then John and Celia Wyatt are going to come and lead us as we pray together.